Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with me. By the way, Jennifer Reed Hawthorne was just on the show. And you know how much I like telling you how to find books. Well, apparently, I realized that I didn't do a very good job of that, even though I did mention the name of the book. I did want to point out that that book is just released today. It's just out today. We launched it on our show today. So that's Life Lessons for Loving the Way You Live. It's available wherever books are sold. It is a Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And by the way, Jennifer's website is Jennifer Hawthorne with an E on the end, jenniferhawthorne.com. So check that out. But be sure to check out that book, Life Lessons for Loving the Way You Live, just out now, brand new book. And you're going to want to buy two, because when you buy one, you're going to want to give one away, but you're going to want to keep one. R.K.C. and Cuddy is our guest. He's an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, a longtime member, and our good friend. He's the co-author of the book Built on Trust. He's got another book on trust coming out real soon, and he's here to talk to us about one of my favorite topics. R.K., welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. My pleasure.
It's good to have you back. You know, R.K., one of my favorite things to do when I speak to there are certain groups that I speak to where I talk about, especially if I'm talking to corporate customers, mm-hmm. a corporate audience rather than a small business audience. And I say corporate meaning, you know, these are team members and everything. And I speak about trust mm-hmm. in my speech. And one of my favorite things to do is to open Built on Trust and read to them from your book.
Well, how nice. Thank you.
Now, I like quoting Arky, folks. You know, you hear me quoting Arky all the time. Some of the things he's talked to us about, but I literally open the book and read to my audience about some of the things. And here's one of the things I read, folks. And Harkey, I know you won't mind me doing this. Trust is more than a highly esteemed human value. Along with technology and innovation, it is one of the most powerful forces driving business today. That's one of the things I read to them. And when I hit them between the eyes with that, Arky, they don't nod off after that.
Yeah, because it goes right to the bottom line. I mean, there's a promise in that statement, and the promise pays off. The thing that leaders sometimes don't recognize is that they can establish a culture based on trust, and that eliminates this us versus them dynamic that's so
yep.
expensive. Across the functions, eliminates unnecessary suspicions and knowledge vacuums, et cetera, et cetera. So yes, it gets people's attention because it has an implication that it's going to impact the bottom line. And boy, does it! It really is. Something
the only
that's
thing,
expensive.
The only thing that trust the enemy of trust is the us versus them, isn't it?
That's right. That's the dynamic often between functions, right where all the services and products go out between your functions and where the revenues come in, is usually the place in the organization that is most vulnerable to an us versus them. Not that they're adversaries. It's just that the level of closure and the performance between the functions, which is the critical part, is less than the performance in the functions themselves. That's so expensive, and it's self-perpetuating expense, unnecessary. You know, when you're hearing from your customers first that there's a problem, you can be sure you've got some of that there. When people are talking around the water cooler in the coffee room in a complaining kind of way, you know you've got some. If you have a normal organization, you've got some us versus them. Therefore, you've got some tremendous opportunity to address at very little expense.
You know, Arky, I don't like to use that word around here.
Which
normal,
one?
Normal.
Normal, okay.
Yeah. I prefer to say regular because I don't think there is any such thing as normal.
Well, I agree with that.
I agree with that. Let me put it this way. Certainly not in my organization. There's nothing normal about what we do around here, I can tell you that. But, you know, Archie, the other thing is I think people are hungry for this topic. I think they're hungry for trust. And the reason I say that is, as many people know, I do a little one-minute vignette on many, many topics on small business. And when those vignettes run on, you know, on places, on different stations, that is the one on trust. And I use the word fiefdoms in that little vignette. I talk about fiefdoms, and some people call them silos or whatever, but I use the word fiefdoms. That is the most requested follow-up of all the little vignettes I do. People want to know, how can I get more information on that than any of the 200 or so others that I do? That's the one that resonates the most with people. We're going to take a quick break. We're right back with Archie C. and Cuddy. Dr. Archie C. and Cuddy and I will be right back. It's 20 till. Stay with us.
Smiling inside. I'm so happy.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Archie C. and Cuddy, the co-author, of Built on Trust, Gaining Competitive Advantage in Any Organization. And, you know, Archie, the concept of trust is everywhere in our organization. You know, I like to remind people that you can't, in modern society, You can't take one step without experiencing trust. I mean, imagine driving to work on a road. I mean, where is there more important trust than when you're driving on a road? I mean, we trust people not to pull out in front of us. We trust people to stay on their side of the road. We trust people to, you know, to do what we think they should be doing in an automobile. I mean, there's huge trust there, isn't it?
Yes, and we're trusting the engineers who designed the car and the people who built the car and so forth. So, you know, it goes to this principle. Trust reverberates many, many, many dimensions into relationships so that what you're doing in your small business or any company is going to reverberate out, you know, through concentric circles to thousands, maybe millions of people that you're never going to meet. Like the engineer who designed your car, the steering system in your car, whatever. So that it's very, very important, and you're right, it's a big topic in society now and in business now, and it's critical to high performance, and the leadership can make it happen. That's the key. You really can make it happen in your team, even if you're just a team leader with four people. You can make it happen in that team. You can make it happen in your organization.
One of the things we don't want trust to happen. One of the things we don't want to happen to trust, though, Archie, is we don't want it to turn out to be like quality.
Yes.
Remember when quality back in the 80s and the early 90s, you know, everything was all around the quality process, ISO 9000, all that stuff. And there's nothing. It's not that any of that wasn't a good thing. It's just that it got so. It was so talked about. It was so much a part of everyone's, you know, conversation of the marketplace that it actually got kind of old, didn't it?
Yes.
We can't let that happen to trust.
Yeah. Trust is something you live. Trust is something that in an organization has this combination. It has confidence and it has a track record. And the track record goes to your bottom line performance. And so it's very practical. It's something that you live out every day. You don't go around saying, oh, we're trusting each other, oh, we're touchy-feely. It's not like that. It's the basis of the organization. Once it's installed, it's lived out. People are very, very proud of it. But it's not like
It's almost a word that you don't use.
That's right.
To me. Isn't it such that the more... that if you want to be trusted, just behave that way. Don't talk about it.
That's right. And again, you're living it out. And your customers know that. I mean, when all other things are equal, your customers will buy from an organization that does what it says it's going to do. And when it can't do it, it lets you know that right away in a personal way and makes up for it. And by and large, that's a competitive edge that's critical. But it starts with the leadership of the organization.
And see, that's where quality is can break down, where trust doesn't have to.
That's right.
Because quality is not perfection.
That's right.
Quality is trying to seek excellence, and you're doing the best you can. You're getting it as good as it can be but trust can even when trust is about failure, it can always be true, can it?
Yes, because if you fail in a trust-based organization, you're going to leverage that failure. What we say is you're better off failing and learning from that than you are dragging on a no-win indefinitely, because the performance is not transparent. Nobody knows if you're winning or losing. So you're better off getting things to closure and leveraging that, and there's your next success coming right after.
I'm going to tell you a little scenario, folks, that you might not believe. If you are competing against another company and you actually have a problem, maybe it's not your fault, and you come clean with a customer and you tell them the truth about it, and even if it hurts a little bit, even if it costs you something,
yes,
but your competitor, everything in their world goes smoothly. They deliver right on time. Everything's perfect. You know, I'm going to say that you're not in a competitive disadvantage. In fact, you might be at an advantage.
Well, you could.
Because they know every relationship has challenges. Now they know how you're going to behave in a challenge.
And you've just told your customer in a very specific, individualized way, hey, we care about you. And that's a big... I've recently consulted with a company that's had that problem. They're so good, their products are so good, they can't keep up with it. So what do you do when you can't fill orders for people that have been ordering from you for 20, 30 years? And it's a small company, and the way they did it with our help was just what you're suggesting. I mean, they just told the truth, and they did not lose their goodwill. You know, while they were ramping up, obviously you have to address the problem. So while they're ramping up new production lines, et cetera, they did not lose the goodwill of their customers because their customers trusted them.
Right, absolutely. Archie, tell us where the book's available.
Well, it's available anywhere, and it's available at Amazon.com, and it's available at LearningCenter.net.
Built on Trust. Archie Ciancuddy and I will be right back. We've got a little bit of an announcement for Archie, folks, when we come back after these messages. Stay with us. 10 till.
Step on my blue suede shoe. You can do anything with the top of my blue suede shoe. But it's blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Blue, blue, blue suede shoe. Yeah.
Blue, blue. I get up.
Welcome back. It's 7 till the hour. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Archie Ciancuddy, the co-author of Built on Trust. That's Dr. Archie Ciancuddy, and I encourage you to, folks, you know, you hear me talking about Archie and the book, you know, many times, even when he's not here, because I never get very far from this concept of trust. And speaking of trust and something that's happened to Archie recently. Archie, you had a grand event to happen a couple of weeks ago, didn't you?
Yes, I got married.
You got married, ladies and gentlemen, and she's a lucky girl.
Oh, that's nice. I feel like I'm the lucky one.
You be sure to tell her. You know what I tell Archie? I tell people I'm a trophy husband.
Yeah. That's great. I might not try to let that one go by. I don't know what would happen on that.
Well, when people look at my beautiful wife and they look at me and they say, "What happened?" I said, "I'm a trophy husband. Can't you see?"
The joke is obvious. No, just kidding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But one of the talking about trust, and we were talking earlier about traffic, about trusting people. I know you're going on your honeymoon, your kind of extended honeymoon is going to be to Europe and to Italy especially, which is where your family's from originally.
Yes.
But I know you've been to Italy, but I just want to remind you in case you've forgotten, I love the Italians. They're
Thanks.
Such wonderful people, and they love Americans too.
Yes, they do.
The traffic indicators in Italy, folks, for Italian drivers are merely suggestions.
That's the truth.
There is no, I mean, lines on a road are merely suggestions. They're just, it's part of the art.
Yes.
It's like an art form for them. I mean, they don't pay attention to those things much.
No, we take the trains. And then, of course, we have family there, so when we get to the small towns, we have access to cars out in the countryside. But in the cities, we take the trains.
You know, we did something, I think I may have told you, when we were in... We were in Rome. My wife and I took a scooter, and we went around for a day and a half. We went around Rome on a scooter.
Mom, no kidding.
Yeah. We did the Roman holiday thing. You know, I was Greg, and she was Audrey, and we had a great time.
Fabulous!
Yeah, it was a great way to see it. But that's when I learned for sure about how Italians are when it comes to roads, and they're kind of proud of that. I think actually.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, Archie, what's and I know you've got a new book project coming out, don't
you? Yes, I do. The manuscript is nearly complete, and it's more detailed than Built on Trust in certain ways, and it goes a little further. You know, we do individual executive coaching, too, at the Learning Center, mm-hmm. and it goes a little bit further into that and how that relates to trust and how them versus us goes back and relates to the individual, what the individual can do about it.
What would you say to a small business manager right now, small business owner right now, who would like to, who's not sure if they've got a trust, an organization that's built on trust, but they'd like to get started, they'd like to take the first step? What would you do?
I would set a meeting with the leadership team, and I would ask a couple of questions. First, I might start with an example of myself. I said, you know, here's the question I would be getting at. Do we always mean yes when we say yes, or do we sometimes mean maybe? Innocently, do we sometimes make commitments that aren't real commitments? And do I, as a leader, sometimes do that? You might have an example where, you know, and I wasn't trying to be malicious or fool anybody, but, you know, I just wasn't thinking. I hadn't thought through it, and I said yes. And the truth is, it turned out, I found out a few weeks later, I must have meant maybe because it didn't happen. And if you start that conversation and keep it open, make it a no-consequence conversation, you know, we're not... You know, judge each other by performance, not words, in this meeting. And I think you'll find that people will say, and then the next question to go to is, do we close our interactions with one another? When we promise help, do we always give a date, a specific, transparent action item, and who's going to be the person who's responsible? Do we close every interaction? Those two things eliminate suspicion or go toward eliminating suspicion in the organization, especially across the functions, and the suspicion is the antithesis of trust. So I would start there with that open meeting, get some information, go from there.
Well said. And folks, you know, obviously we trust people to show up on time. We trust them not to steal from us. We trust them to be honest. But we've got to take trust is a much handier term and concept. We've got to continue to weave it throughout all of our operations, every step of our business, with not only with among ourselves, but also and especially with our customers. Archie, give us that website one more time, please.
It's learningcenter.net.
Congratulations on the new wedding, and we wish you and your wife many, many years of happiness together.
Well, thank you, Jim. I certainly appreciate it, and we are certainly happy.
And tell all of our friends there in Orvieto, Italy, that we said hello too. By the way.
Okay, I'll say hi to your friends, Jim.
There you go.
Some of them are. Okay, take care.
Thanks, Archie. See you later. Mm-hmm. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.